Greetings, my peeps, and welcome to the All Things Basketball Podcast with your boy GD. In this episode, it's the offseason now in the NBA, so we'll talk about the trades, all the trades that went down. I'll save the signings and all that other stuff for another episode, but trades, we'll talk about trades right now, and I'll touch on the draft a little bit as well. So just sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Okay, guys, it's your boy GD back with the All Things Basketball with GD podcast. And guys, finals are over. And now we slip into first the draft and then the free agency. But a lot of trades went down even prior to the finals finishing. In fact, you had two major trades that went down before the finals were done, which leads me to say, what are we even doing? Should we not have a moratorium on trades and them not going down during the NBA finals? It all could be announced the day after, but when you do it during the NBA finals, it takes away from the finals itself. I understand, I get it. Not every game in the finals is on every day, so you got to fill that space with something. But I think it would be incumbent upon Adam Silver to have a moratorium on trades not to take place during the NBA finals. Once the finals is done, you can announce the trades till the cows come home. But during the finals, I think the focus should be on the series itself. That's my thing. So take with it what you will. So with that said, guys, I did want to touch on the draft really quick because it was just a few items that were of real interest. You had the situation with, first of all, Cooper Flagg going number one to Dallas. That was pretty much a fait accompli. So we'll see what he does over there. It looks like he's going to have some help. You know, he'll have an AD there. You know, they also have your bigs like Daniel Gafford there as well. You'll have the likes of, they'll get point guard help to be there until Kyrie arrives. So Cooper Flagg will have something to work with. You'll still have Jason Kidd for the moment. It doesn't appear he's going anywhere. I understand. I get it. There's overtures being made by the New York Knicks. Maybe I'll touch on the Knicks really quick. Also with that debacle of a coaching search that's going down with them. But, yeah, so I think Cooper Flagg is in a nice place where at least he's playing with a top-tier player in Anthony Davis. And then once you get Kyrie back, then that's a whole other thing. But I think he's in a good spot as far as first picks overall. So we'll see what he does with that. And then there was the incident with Ace Bailey. Ace Bailey, he declined a lot of teams. You know, the individual workouts, he declined a lot of those, leading many to criticize that. And I get it. You know, I understand. But you know something? You can pull that, but if a team wants you, they're still going to try and get you, regardless of whether you worked out with them or not. We still have tape on you from in college, so We have that to go on, so you have that. But nonetheless, guys, Ace Bailey ends up falling down to fifth to the Utah Jazz. A lot of people were saying, well, actually, I heard that he told teams not to draft him and all those sort of things. I'm like, yeah, that's not good to, you know, you're kind of leaving a bad impression. But he ends up getting drafted by Utah. Supposedly, the look on his face said that he wasn't thrilled with it. Then he kind of slow played going to Utah. He is in Utah now, guys, so we can quell all the nonsense with that. But, you know, you got to be careful coming into the league, kind of making demands and things like that, because this league will blackball you with the quickness. So there's that. But he goes to Utah, and believe it or not, it's a good situation. They also drafted William Clayton Jr. I thought that was a terrific pick for them. He's a guy who's a ready-made guard that can play in this league. So I think the combination of those two guys with what they already have over there in Utah, nice young nucleus. So, you know, Will Hardy, who they just gave an extension to, will be able to kind of mold the talent that's over there. We'll see what happens. Whether they bring back Laurie Markkanen is a whole different issue. So there you have that. And then my Knicks, of course, picks a French player in the second round, a guy who's friends with last year's pick, Pokom Didiat. So there's that. So it's like a French connection there, if you will. Is he coming over to the States and play? We don't even know. So we'll see what happens with that. If he ends up in summer camp, we'll see. So a lot going on with the Knicks. And then you have that debacle of a coaching search that's taking place with them, how they wanted to talk to coaches that were already employed, like Jason Kidd. I kind of mentioned that. They also talked to Minnesota's coach, Mark Finch. Wanted to talk to him. Wanted to talk to Ime Udoka. Houston said, thanks, but no thanks. We're giving the extension, so don't even think about him. And rightfully so, he's done a great job in Houston so far. They even going as far as trying to talk to Quinn Snyder in Atlanta. And I'm like, what are we even doing here? We look discombobulated with this. So now they're interviewing actual coaches that aren't employed per se, like a Taylor Jenkins. They're looking at him. Mike Brown, who's going on the second interview as we speak. So there's that. Then I even heard they made inquiries about Dawn Staley. I don't imagine her leaving South Carolina to come coach the Knicks. I don't see that at all. But supposedly the Philadelphia ties she has with the Brunsons and all those sort of things made her a candidate. I'm using air quotes, guys. So there's that. I think if you were looking at a woman to coach, I would look more to Becky Hammon because I've seen her do it. So do I think that Dawn could not do it? Absolutely not. I think she can coach whoever you put in front of her. But, I don't know what the Knicks are doing. And then you go looking at James Borrego, who used to be a coach of the Charlotte Hornets, who didn't have a stellar record, but, you know, that could be an indictment of the roster that he had more so than him. So there's that. But, again, Mike Brown looks like he's kind of the leader in the clubhouse. He's getting that second interview, so we'll see. So they want no parts of Mike Brown. Not Mike Brown. They want no parts of Mike Malone. They seem like they want no parts of Johnny Bryant, who was in this system, guys, under Coach Thibodeau. They want no parts of him either. Sam Cassell, throw that out the window. Mark Jackson still being blackballed, if you will, by the league. So you won't see him coming through the door. Jeff Van Gundy, forget about it. They're not even looking his way. So that's the crop that we have. Mike Brown, Taylor Jenkins, Mike James Borrego, and they're sniffing around Dawn Staley. I think that's to no avail, but it is what it is. But the coaching search is a mess, guys. An absolute mess, an embarrassment, and all the things. So there's that. All right, guys. I went on a tangent enough about those things. Let's talk about these trades. So June 15th, the Orlando Magic makes a bold move, a trade for Desmond Bane from the Memphis Grizzlies, 5-year player, averaged nearly 18 points per game, over 4.5 rebounds, nearly 4 assists, solid shooter from the field, over 47%, 41% from three, you love that, and over 88% from the free throw line. So he's been solid there. So Orlando said, you know what? We got to make a big move in the East, and now is the time. It's the East is ripe right now. So whatever power moves you can make, do it now, because this could be a year where anybody can come out of the East. So Orlando made that trade, sending over to Memphis. They are sending Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, a 12-year vet, champion with the Denver Nuggets. So you get a KG veteran there, a 3-and-D guy, and then Cole Anthony, guard. He's a combo guard to me, at least. 5 years in the league gives you firepower off your bench. Also, they were able to get 5 first-round picks, guys. This year's pick that ended up being Cedric Cowart, the small forward from Washington State. And then in 2026, they'll do a pick swap, and that's between the teams Phoenix and Washington. So you know that's going to be probably a lottery pick. So they'll get a good pick there. 2008, they get a first rounder. 2009, there's a pick swap between themselves and Orlando. So it'll be between Memphis and Orlando, who has the worst pick. And then 2030, outright, it'll be Orlando's pick. So, of course, you know, the Stephen A's of the world, those type of people are saying 5 first rounders for a guy who hasn't appeared in an all-star game yet is a lie. He said the same thing about Mikal Bridges when the Knicks made their trade. Here's what I'm going to say. And the way I speed read through the draft we just had, the drafts aren't what they used to be, guys. Because you got the super seniors that are staying around for the NIL money. You got the young guys that are coming in. But it's not. It seems like it's not a lot of development that's happening with these guys when they come into the league. They don't blossom until about 3 or 4 years down the line, whether they're with the same team they were drafted with or move on. So it's the draft isn't the magic bullet that it used to be back in the day. So I think people like Stephen A. and the rest of them, I think they overvalue these first-round picks, thinking they're on the same caliber as a NFL first-round draft pick. I think that's where the mistake lies. So, Orlando, if they felt this was the price to get a guy like Desmond Bane, a guy you could plug in as your shooting guard, he will be rock solid. My only concern with him is injuries. He does have an injury history about him, so that would be my only concern. But you're getting the guy when he's out there, he's as solid as they come. And then you'll have a starting lineup of Bane, probably Jalen Suggs in your backcourt there, along with Paolo Banchero, Franz Wagner, and your center for the moment, Wendell Carter Jr. So that's still a very good lineup in the Eastern Conference. That's enough to get you by. So Orlando's going for it. So Jamal Mosley, he has a nice lineup there. So we'll see. So that is your one trade, guys. A week later, before I go any further, now with this trade going down, Desmond Bane, a lot of people are saying, maybe they'll tear it down and do like OKC and just get a bunch of draft picks. Not so fast. They have decided to keep Jaren Jackson Jr., give an extension. I'll talk about that when I talk about the free agent signings, but Ja Morant, for the moment, looks like he's safe for now, but it's still a long offseason. Could he be moved? Possibly. Is there a market for him? I'm not sure, to be honest with you. So I think of anybody who could be on the move, it would be him. So keep an eye out for Ja Morant, whether he makes it to training camp with the Grizzlies. So we'll see. All right, so let us move on. A week later, you have Kevin Durant on the move yet again, guys. Kevin Durant now going to the Houston Rockets. He goes to the Houston Rockets, guys, in exchange for Jalen Green. I told you guys, I knew he was on the trading block. I knew it was a matter of time, and off he goes in this trade along with Dylan Brooks. That was the surprise, guys. I was absolutely stunned that they sent Dylan Brooks. Not because, losing to Dylan Brooks will hurt your team per se, but I just thought he was not in the equation. I thought it would be younger guys like a Jabari Smith, maybe a Cam Whitmore, maybe a Terry Eason. But no, Dylan Brooks goes to Phoenix along with Jalen Green. And also, guys, they have a first rounder that they sending to Phoenix, and that turned into Khalid Mollich, the center from Duke. So that's who they ended up getting. Also, they got a second round pick as well in this year's draft. Jame Meshack, shooting guard out of Tennessee. Two second rounders for 2026 rather. And then two more second rounders in 2030. That's via the Boston Celtics. And then 2032, which will be Houston's own. So that's what you get for Kevin Durant. A lot of people say, it should have been more first rounders, this and that. Again, I revert back to what I was saying about the previous trade as far as overvaluing first round picks. They got one in this deal, so you take your hat off to them for that. The rest are second rounders. So, but Kevin Durant, you know him, you know his resume. 17 years in the league, guys. He had 2 years when he was out with the knee. So a lot of people say, that kind of gives him a bit more spring in his step, if you will, missing those two seasons. I don't know where you get that fascination from, but that's another story. A 27-point scorer for his career, 7 rebounds, nearly 4.5 assists. Rookie of the Year, League MVP, 2-time champion with Golden State Warriors, 2-time Finals MVP with the Golden State Warriors, 4-time scoring champ in this league, so a top 75 player, guys. You plug him into your lineup. Now you got a starting lineup that looks like Kevin Durant, Alperen Sengun, Fred VanVleet, who you just gave him an extension. I'll talk about that later. Well, in another episode. Amen Thompson, up and coming young player, and Jabari Smith, who you ended up not dealing, but you kept him in the fold, gave him an extension as well. I'll talk about that in the other episode. So that's your starting lineup. You have a solid bench as well. So Houston's going for it, guys. Going for it in that competitive Western Conference. So we'll... Here's my thing with Kevin Durant, because you know, you and I know his modus operandi is just to come there and hoop. That's who he is. He wants to go there and hoop. He's not there to, you know, be a rah-rah guy, if you will. So I think you leave that to guys like Fred Van Fleet, who also has won a championship, so he has the pedigree there as far as that goes. But I think Kevin Durant, he's a guy, when everything breaks down, you can go to him, and he's a bucket. So how M.A. Aduka employs him in that offense, we'll see what happens. But I trust Aduka as far as that goes. So they'll be a tough team. How he blends in with other guys, I'll be very interested to see. But, you know, this is a, to me, it's a low risk, if you will, high reward if you get the Kevin Durant that you saw with Golden State giving it to you in the playoffs and carrying your team to the ultimate goal. So it's a roll of the dice, but it could pay high rewards. So give Houston props for that. So there you go. Now, as far as Phoenix side, you know, you'll probably have both these guys in your starting lineup if you keep Jalen Green. I hear that rumor has it that he may not even stick, because remember, guys, you have Devin Booker still. You have Bradley Beal, who has that no trade, one of two players with a no trade contract. The other one, LeBron James. So, again, there you have that. So, do they flip Jalen Green? And what do you get back in return? We'll see. But, yeah, I don't see them going into training camp with all three of those guys there. So, we'll see what happens. But that is that deal. Again, both of these deals happened during the NBA Finals. An absolute no-no in my mind, but it is what it is. Let's move on. June 23rd, you had this trade go down, guys. Boston Celtics, you're starting to unload some salary, guys. Boston Celtics acquire Anthony Simons from the Portland Trailblazers. They got him along with two future second rounders. And guys, Anthony Simons is a, I thought he was a really young guy. He's been in the league 7 years, guys. That's longer than Desmond Bain. He's been in the league 7 years, three of those relegated to the bench. And then once they elevated him to starter, he blew up, man. 7 years, so he has a 15-point average, over three assists per game. That's what he gives you. And exchange for Simons, they deal Drew Holiday, guys. So Drew Holiday, he packs his bags, and I'm sure Lauren Holiday is not pleased, especially when these kind of trades go down, but that's part and parcel of being the wife of an NBA player. You know, what can you do? But nonetheless, Drew Holiday, 16 years in the league, two-time champion, one with Boston, one with Milwaukee, two-time All-Star, six times All-Defense, guys. So right now in Portland, if I had to guess a starting lineup, I would say Holiday would be your point guard, Shaedon Sharpe, who has played well for the Portland Trailblazers. Donovan Clingan will be your center, guys. Tumani Kamara, That's one of your forwards. Your other forward, I flip between these two, Jeremy Grant and Robert Williams III. Reason I say that is because I think Jeremy Grant could be a guy that's on the market. In other words, he's expendable, if you will, for the Portland Trail Blazers. So we'll see there. But that's probably your lineup there. So Chauncey Billups gets him a professional point guard, and Drew Holiday, maybe somebody who can, who Scoop Henderson can learn behind, you know. So there you go. But so that is your deal as far as that goes, guys. So Boston dumping salary, and they won't be done. I'll continue with them later. And then on the next day, June 24th, New Orleans Pelicans, they make a move, guys. They acquire Jordan Poole from the Washington Wizards, along with Sadiq Bey, their small forward there. Also, they get a 2025 second rounder that comes in the likes of forward Micah Peavy, who played at Georgetown, guys. So you have him now. And then Washington gets in return, rather, guard C.J. McCollum. So C.J. McCollum, a 12-year vet, nearly 20-point score per game, nearly 4 assists, 3.5 rebounds over that. A league most improved player once upon a time. Still hasn't made an all-star game, guys, for reasons unbeknownst to me. And I going to Washington, I don't foresee that happening for him there. So you have that, along with Kelly Olynyk. Seemed like he's always included in the trade. Also a 12-year bet, by the way, guys. So in Washington now, you're probably looking at a lineup of C.J. McCollum, probably Bob Carrington. That'll be your backcourt. Bilal Coulibaly, probably one of your forwards. You can do this. You can have Kelly Olynyk as your stretch four next to Alex Saar, who will be your center. So you can have that kind of lineup. We'll see. But C.J. McCollum, now it looks like he'll be a go-to guy over there because you don't have too many of them in that regard. So I expect him to put up big numbers with the Washington Wizards because you don't have anybody else, to be honest with you. So there's that. As far as Jordan Poole goes, here's what I foresee as the starting lineup over there. Jordan Poole will be in the backcourt with DeJounte Murray, Zion Williamson, who seems like it's a new dedication to him, thanks to Joe Dumars over there. Trey Murphy, I think, will be your other forward, given the extension he was given. And you can either go small by having Herb Jones be your center, or you could go traditional with Eves Missy. So you could go either way as far as your center goes. But that looks like, so far, that looks like your starting lineup. So, but Jordan Poole seemed like he's bouncing around, guys. So what he does in New Orleans with a guy like Willie Green, I think he will be able to rein him in a bit. So, hey, look, maybe you'll see a much better Jordan Poole than what you've seen thus far. So, and you're going to have it over there. So there's that. So that's that deal. Let us continue. Boston dumping more salary, as I said, right? Kristaps Porzingis on the move, guys. Going to Atlanta. 9-year vet, scoring 19.5 points over that, nearly 8 rebounds, almost 2 blocks per game. NBA champion, one-time All-Star, championship with Boston, obviously. So he goes to it, the Atlanta Hawks. Boston gets Georges Niang, forward, coming from Atlanta, along with a future second rounder. So basically, this is a salary dump for Boston. And then Brooklyn is involved. That's the third team. They get guard Terrence Mann. So you adding another guard to your bevy of guards. Oh, by the way, the Nets had 5 first-round picks in this 2025 draft. 4 of them guards. So add this guard to the 4 guards you drafted. Plus, you still have a Cam Thomas there and other guards also. So there you have that. So Brooklyn's loaded with guards. So there that is. And 2025 first rounder, which is one of your picks, Drake Powell. One of your guards, by the way. So there's that. But again, Porzingis on the move, guys. At the starting 5, I foresee for the Hawks, Kristaps Porzingis will be a stretch 4. Trae Young, he's still in the fold thus far. Haven't heard any overtures about him being moved yet. Jalen Johnson, your promising young forward, he'll be in the fold there. Onyeka Okongwu. So that'll be your starting center now, full-time. I'll be interested to see what he does on a full-time basis. There'll be no Clint Capella around. I'll talk about that when I talk about free agency. And then Dyson Daniels, your most improved player. He will be the other guard with Trae Young. Nice squad, by the way, guys. So Quinn Snyder has a nice little nucleus there. They made some power moves as well. I'll talk about those. In fact, they made one more trade that I'll talk about a little later. So Atlanta looking good. And again, that Eastern Conference is starting to open up. So Atlanta, why not? So we'll see what happens there. So that's another trade, guys. June 25th, actually, this was the day of the draft. Phoenix makes another trade, guys. Now, mind you, they got the center from Duke, right? On draft day, they trade for another center from Charlotte, Mark Williams. So mind you, they now have Mark Williams, the kid from Duke. And Nick Richards is still there. So you have the center combination that was in Charlotte, now in Phoenix. Plus you have the young center. So they're overrun with center right now. So you get him. He's been in the league 3 years, guys. Here's his games played in those 3 years, guys. 43 as a rookie, 19 in the second year, 44 in his third year, guys. So he's not even averaging 40 games per year, guys. That's, you know, it's a roll of the dice for Phoenix. You know, remember, guys, he was supposed to be on the move to the Lakers, but the league rescinded that deal because of the, the Lakers who saw something wrong with the medicals. So he was sent back. So now he's on the move yet again, guys. So it's, leads to a lot of confusion what Phoenix is doing over there, but nonetheless. And they send in exchange a guard they know well because they had him and sent him in the Nurkic deal. Vasilij Micic. He's like, he can play the point. So, and in fact, he spelled for LaMelo Ball when he got hurt. So he's back in the fold for the Hornets. And then you get a first rounder as well in 2025 draft and the likes of Liam McNeely out of UConn. And then they also get a 2029 first rounder from Phoenix. So, and then as of now, your starting lineup over there, provided you don't trade Jalen Green, who I talked about previously, Jalen Green, Dylan Brooks, Devin Booker, Bradley Beal, and Mark Williams. That's your starting lineup, pretty much. Brooks will probably have to play power forward because you don't have one right now. And then you're going with three guards in your lineup. But again, Jalen Green could be on the move, so there's that. So that is your deal as far as Phoenix goes. Let's continue. On June 28th, this is kind of a low-level deal, but interesting one. Cleveland gets Lonzo Ball. Gets Lonzo Ball, who played in the league. He's been in the league 8 years, but played in only six. And here's his games played, guys. 52 as a rookie, 47 as a second-year player, 63, which will be the most games he's played as a pro in one season, 55, 35, 2 years injured with that knee, and then last year playing 35. So major, major risk for the Cleveland Cavaliers. And going back to Chicago in this deal, Isaac Okoro, a five-year player who's more of a defensive player, if anything, so it's like a trade of two defensive players, if you will. But Lonzo Ball will definitely be a help to them because right now, Darius Garland, he's under the knife. He's had surgery, so he's going to be out several months, so you're definitely going to need Lonzo Ball there, provided he's healthy, of course, guys. You know, that's the caveat with him, so we'll see what happens. So kind of a neat move for Cleveland Cavaliers, and you didn't have to give up much to get the guy, so there you have it. So kind of a low-tier trade, but can bring high reward if Lonzo Ball is healthy for the Cleveland Cavaliers. And then June 29th, Charlotte not done making trades, guys. They get Colin Sexton from the Utah Jazz, a seven-year player scoring nearly 19 points per game, well over 3.5 assists. And in exchange for him, you send Jusuf Nurkić to the Utah Jazz. So you get scoring help in Sexton, guys. As far as a starting lineup goes, it'll probably be Sexton and LaMelo Ball in that backcourt, along with Brandon Miller. You could use him as your small forward. Miles Bridges, your power. And then now that you dealt all your centers, maybe you give a rookie a shot, Ryan Kalkbrenner. Maybe you give that rookie a shot as far as starting center goes. So we'll see. Are they going to make a move and maybe bring in a center, a veteran center? I would think that would be the wise thing to do. So we'll see what happens there. And then Nurkić, I don't even know if he starts over there, to be honest with you. So it could be just the Angels over there collecting talent and maybe shuffling that talent on elsewhere. We'll see. Two more deals and then we're done, guys. The Brooklyn Nets in desperate need of some kind of star power. You get Michael Porter Jr. from the Denver Nuggets along with a 2032 first-round pick. In exchange, you send to Denver Nuggets, Cam Johnson. Now, Michael Porter Jr., a bona fide scorer, guys, and something that the Nets desperately need. The only thing with him, he's always got the back issues, so that's always part and parcel with him, so you have to be mindful of that. Now, for Denver, you're getting a younger version of Michael Porter Jr., if you will. He's a stretch three or four who can light it up from deep. So only thing with him is health. He has health problems also. So, but definitely a guy you could plug in to your starting lineup and can give you some punch, that's for sure. So nice move for both teams. And plus, Brooklyn's getting that unprotected 2032 first round pick, who we don't know what that'll look like. Well, what Denver will look like at that point. So it could be a very good pick. We'll see. And then the last one was a sign and trade, guys. Atlanta Hawks getting very busy, guys, getting Nickeil Alexander-Walker from the Minnesota Timberwolves. I figure he was a guy who'll be a high price item on the move. You do a sign and trade for him. He's getting 4 years at $62 million. Wow. I don't foresee him starting. I told you the starting lineup I see as far as that team goes. I think Nickeil will be the first guy coming off that bench for them, giving them firepower. So, yeah, but a nice get for the Atlanta Hawks, who, again, the East is wide open, so why not fortify your bench with a guy like this? And with the sign and trade, Atlanta sends to Minnesota a 2027 second round pick, which actually belonged to Cleveland, and cash considerations. So there you have it. Nickeil Alexander Walker on the move to, dare I say, an improving Atlanta Hawks team. We'll see, but there you go. All right, guys, so I thank you for listening. As always, all things basketball with GD.com is the website. There you find my episodes, all the things, all the happenings. And, guys, All-Star voting is in for the WNBA, so we can talk about that. We can talk about the Commissioner's Cup as well, which is coming up. It's going to be the Indiana Fever taking on the Minnesota Lynx. So I'll give you a recap of that, guys. So there you have that. And then the signings. I want to get to the signings as well. So I'll do the signings tomorrow. So I took care of all the trades. You still got signings pouring in. So we'll do the signings tomorrow. Definitely want to talk about LeBron James using his player option to stay with the Lakers. A lot of overtures have been made about it. I give you my opinion as far as that goes and a whole bunch of other signings. So, all right, guys. Again, all things basketball with GD.com is the website. There you'll find all the episodes, the clips. You find my donate buttons as well. PayPal, Buy Me a Coffee, Spotify, donate. There you can give to the show, guys. Also in the scroll, my Cash App, $GD, that sports do. Cash App, $GD, that sports do. Also, guys, as far as podcast platforms, I'm on them all, Apple, YouTube. I put my stuff on LinkedIn as well, socials, TikTok, Instagram, some Blue Sky, some Facebook. That's all. All right. Thank you for listening. As always, your listenership is always appreciated, guys. All right. And then again, I want to push out one more episode before I take another needed vacation. Yeah, it's summertime, man. I'm out in these streets. So it is what it is. All right, guys. I'll talk to you soon. All right. Take care.